Our loving Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy and precious name. Indeed, we're so thankful, dear Father, to come into thy presence, to bow before thee in reverence and praise for all the way that thou hast led us, and that thou hast led us to this place, to the Valley of Blessing. Open our hearts and minds that we might be receptive to the lessons, the admonitions, the exhortations, all the good words that we will hear this week, that we might go forth strengthened in thy most holy faith, that we might become a more obedient and a more loving son of thine. Forgive us for anything that we've said and amiss. We pray thy blessing upon all thy children the world over, especially those who need thee in special ways. Comfort all of us, grant us all a greater merit of thy spirit. Help us be faithful even to the end of our walk, that we might hear that well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in the joys of thy Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' most precious name. Amen. Well, as brother and sister Wessel, Brother Leonard is recovering from some eye surgery, and they were not able to come. And I've probably forgotten somebody else, I think the Jacobs and others, but they all send their special love to you. They wish they could be here. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Come away, all of you, to a quiet place and rest a while." That's Mark 6:31 from the Weymouth translation. It is my great privilege to welcome each and every one of you to this quiet place of spiritual rest, the 2007 Bible Students General Convention. As already been mentioned, with great anticipation and joy, we have come from far and near to join together with our brethren in this place of rest and refreshment provided by our Heavenly Father and our returned Lord. We have gathered together in remembrance of the words of the Apostle Paul, which we find in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, and verse 24 and 25. And we'd like to read this from the Phillips translation because I think it makes our responsibility and privilege to one another just a little bit more explicit. And let us think of one another and how we can encourage each other to love and to do good deeds. Let us not hold aloof from our church meetings as some do. Let us do all we can to help one another's faith, and this the more earnestly as we see the final day drawing near. As we see that final day approaching, we have come together to inspire one another unto love and to good works, that the work that the Lord has begun in each one of us might be completed. We have come together so that our Christian characters will be more fully developed, so that we might hear our Lord's voice say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." That was Matthew 25:21. Come away, all of you, to a quiet place and rest a while. For the next 6 days, we will be separated from the world and its cares. We have been gathered together into our Heavenly Father's presence for Him to stimulate our hearts and minds to a better understanding and appreciation of Him and His truth and His will for us. Our theme text, as you can see before you, is 1 Timothy 2:4. Who desires all men to be saved and to come to an accurate knowledge of the truth. Every session of this convention will be designed by our Heavenly Father to bring us that more accurate and more complete understanding of the truth and the change the truth should be making in our lives. If you take a look at the program, you'll find that there will be a theme discourse that will focus specifically on this verse from the words of the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy 2:4. There will also be three mini-talks on lessons to be learned from the lives of three kings of Israel, Saul and David and Solomon. There will be discourses on where is the promise of our Lord's presence and the sure mercies of David. There will be a discussion on the question, did Judas die the second death? On Tuesday, there will be a baptismal discourse and an immersion service to welcome our newly consecrated brethren into the body of Christ. There will be a symposium on laying aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. There will be many additional lessons from our Lord, especially oriented towards our spiritual refreshment, encouragement, and education. There will be five testimony meetings, opportunities for us to express our thanks to our Heavenly Father and praise for all the way that He has led us. And during the meal times and after the convention sessions, there will be numerous opportunities for fellowship, for spiritual discussion with our brethren to encourage and uplift and to build one another up in this most holy faith. It is both a privilege and a blessing to be here. This is a privilege that some of our beloved brethren, whether by reason of age or health, responsibilities or other circumstances, they're not enjoying this year. However, the Lord has determined that we should be here, and He has made our attendance at this spiritual feast possible. Why did the Lord make sure that we are here? During our Lord's ministry, after He'd sent out the apostles two by two to preach, to cast out evil spirits, and to heal the people, they returned unto Him to share their experiences with their Lord and Master. This is recorded for us in Mark's the 6th chapter and verses 7 through 13, and also verse 30. We're not given much detail about the experiences that they found, but we would expect that they would be similar to the experiences that we face in our Christian walk. Because there were so many people around Jesus when they returned, Jesus said unto them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." And so they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. Since our last general convention, the Lord has sent us forth to grow spiritually, to preach and to be an example of Him, to be tested and to let His light shine in our lives. During that past year, our brethren have faced many hard experiences, many difficult trials. Many have lost loved ones who have finished their earthly walk. Others have had severe trials of sickness and suffering. All of us have faced the trials and difficulties created by our three enemies, the world, our flesh, and the adversary. During the past year, there's also been the joy of sacrificing and working for the Lord. There has been God's blessed overruling in our lives, the strength and comfort that He has given each one of us in every trial that we've experienced. There has been the joy and experiences that we've had in preaching the gospel message and pointing forward to our Lord and His wonderful plan of salvation. Now, like those disciples, we have returned from the crowds in the world to our Lord's presence to share our activity and our experiences, to share our joys and our sorrows. The Lord has called us to this quiet place to be with Him and to get some much needed spiritual rest and encouragement. This reminds us of the illustration that we find in the 23rd Psalm, verses 2 and 3 and verse 5. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. You prepare me before me, or you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. This week, our Lord will lead us to those green pastures of spiritual food to feast upon. He will lead us to the cool, refreshing waters of truth to quench our thirst and to prepare us for our next sojourn in the wilderness of this present evil world. This reminds us of some scriptures contained in the Bible. It reminds us of the words of our Lord in John, the 10th chapter, where Jesus said unto His disciples, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly." Our Lord will provide pasture rich in spiritual food here at this convention, that we might have that life more abundantly. It also reminds us of the words of our Lord in Revelation, the 21st chapter. "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." We have come here to drink of that fountain of the water of life, our Lord Jesus, that our spiritual thirst might be quenched. You're also reminded of the words of the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 5, verses 25 and 26. "Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word." We have come to be cleansed by the water of truth, that we might be an unblemished church, without stain or wrinkle or any such blemish, but holy and blameless before Him in love. Ephesians 5:27. Perhaps we have been bruised in our Christian walk during the past year, and our wounds are in need of binding and salve to help them heal. This is a good place to come, for our Lord, the Good Shepherd, is here. Through the discourses and fellowship of this convention, the Lord will tend to and bind up our wounds that they might heal. He will put eye salve on our eyes that we might be able to see Him more clearly. The Lord has called us here to give us rest, not from Him and His service, but from the cares and the spirit of this world, from the worries and the burdens of sin in our fallen flesh. Jesus said unto us in Matthew, the 11th chapter, verse 28, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He will give us rest here from our sorrows and our worries and our fears and from the hard bondage of the flesh, Isaiah 14:3. Come away, all of you, to a quiet place and rest a while. Apostle Paul explains one reason why we're here. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, in verses 22 through 25. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? Our goal is Mount Zion, the spiritual phase of God's kingdom, and specifically to be part of the New Jerusalem, the church, prepared as a bride adorned or beautifully dressed for her husband, Christ. Revelation 21:2. The Lord has called us here to remind us about our goal and the covenant of sacrifice that we have made to reach that goal. Our goal is to be united with our Lord in the presence of our Heavenly Father for the purpose of blessing all the families of the earth. By faith, we can see Mount Zion in the distance. Its glorious light shows us the path to its gates. Its gleaming beauty beckons us. Its promise inspires us to come ever closer. However, in our day-to-day struggle with our fallen flesh, with the spirit and the influence of the world and the attacks of the adversary, we can lose sight of, we can lose the inspiration of the big picture. And so the Lord has designed the lessons of this convention to refocus our hearts and refocus our minds on our goal, Mount Zion, the New Jerusalem, the Bride of Christ, and the inspiring result, the inspiring blessings it will bring in God's plan of salvation. The discourses will remind us about the goal, the glory that's been set before us. They will remind us that we have been begotten again by a living hope, or begotten again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. These discourses will also remind us of God's promises to help us be successful in this journey. That in the time of my favor, he will answer us. And in the day of salvation, he will help us. That he will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people, to restore the land and to reassign its desolate inheritances, to say to the captives, come out, and those in darkness, be free. The lessons at this convention will remind us of our goal and will exhort us that since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and let us worship God acceptably with reverence and with awe. Hebrews 12:28 from the NIV. Come away, all of you, to a quiet place and rest a while. The Lord has called us to this quiet place that we might be filled with His Spirit. God's Holy Spirit is the lifeblood of the new creature. Our Lord Jesus was filled with God's Holy Spirit without measure. And the Apostle Paul exhorts us to be filled with God's Holy Spirit to the largest possible extent. John 3:34 and Ephesians 5:18. Just as the Spirit of God moved upon the waters of the earth to prepare the earth for life, and then created all terrestrial life that we see, animals and then man, God's Spirit works within our hearts and minds to will and to do His good pleasure, if we allow it. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, in verse 3, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in the fleshly tables of the heart." The lessons at this convention have been designed by our Heavenly Father to fill our hearts with more and more of His Holy Spirit, and to continue the Spirit's work in our life of shaping us more into the image of Christ. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. The Holy Spirit that our Heavenly Father provides here will lead us to a better understanding of His truth and His will concerning us, that we might be obedient sons. "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." The Lord will provide His Spirit to us here to help us become more obedient to His truth and to be more loving to our brethren. It's God's Spirit that motivates and prompts us to this obedience and this love. The more we are filled with God's Holy Spirit, the more obedient we will become, the more loving we will become. "Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." The Holy Spirit, which we will receive here, will stimulate the work of sanctification in our lives, the setting us apart, the making us holy and acceptable to God for His service. "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." The Holy Spirit God will pour upon us here will help make us holy by developing within us the fruits of the Spirit. These fruits will become more developed, more fully developed in us because we attended this convention and applied its lessons in our lives. Our spiritual progress can be marked by the extent to which God's Spirit has replaced our own spirit. God has called us here that we might be strengthened by might of His Spirit in the inner man, so that we might be builded together, collectively, as a habitation of God through His Spirit. Come away, all of you, to a quiet place and rest a while. We've come to this convention to have our faith in God and His promises strengthened. During our Lord's first advent, the disciples asked the Lord to increase their faith, Luke 17 and 5. The disciples admired our Lord's great faith in the Heavenly Father. They observed how it was grounded in the promises of God and how it successfully overcame every trial, every test, every experience that our Lord faced. They wanted to have that same faith. That same desire fills our hearts. We know that this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We have come to this convention to have our faith made more like our Lord's, that we might gain the victory. During this week, many of God's promises will be proclaimed to us to convince us, of His great love and care for each one of us, and how He is using His great power and wisdom and faithfulness to provide for our every spiritual need. This week, God will remind us that He has engraved us on the palms of His hands. Just as a mother cannot forget the children that she has born, neither will God forget us as His children. No matter how difficult the circumstance or how bleak the outlook, God will never abandon us. Never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Hebrews 13:5 from the NIV. God will also remind us that He is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love, which we have showed toward His name, and that we have ministered to the saints and do minister. Whatever we do in the Lord's service as a labor of love for Him and His children is remembered, even to the giving of a cup of cold water. God will also remind us that we are kept by His power through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. God's power will lead to our salvation if we maintain our faith in it. The promises that we will hear during the next 6 days will testify to God's faithfulness in the past as He dealt with the patriarchs, the prophets, our Lord, and the apostles. The testimonies and experiences reported by our brethren at this convention will demonstrate how God has faithfully dealt with them during the past year. As we commit these promises and these experiences to our memory, as we become convinced of their application in our lives, our faith will grow, and we will be prepared for the challenges for the year ahead. Come away, all of you, to a quiet place and rest a while. We have come to this convention to have our zeal kindled brighter and hotter. The Scriptures tell us that the zeal for the Lord's house, the zeal for God's house, consumed our Lord Jesus, leading Him to lay down His life and sacrifice. Psalm 69:9. Our Lord's zeal led Him to delight to do God's will. Psalms 40:8. To be proven an acceptable Son of God, our zeal must be made like our Lord's. Just like Jesus, we must be clad with zeal like a cloak. At this convention, the Lord will increase our zeal by teaching us to delight in His commandments, which we have loved, that we should lift up our hands unto His commandments, which we have loved, and to meditate in His statutes. This week, God will teach us about the beauty of His laws and His commandments. His love that prompted those laws and commandments, and the blessings and joys that come from their fulfillment in our lives. God here will inspire our desire, inspire our zeal, both to love His commandments, to think upon them, to make them our own. Here, God will also make us to go in the path of His commandments, because that is where we delight. Our delight is not just to think upon and discuss our Lord's commandments, but to follow them, to apply them personally in our lives. This is the path that leads to life eternal. God has really led us here in response to our prayer to Him to make me go in the path. At this convention, we will hear of those who delighted in God's commandments and zealously followed their path. We'll hear about the zeal of the prophets, our Lord, and the apostles, those faithful brethren of old. We'll hear about their love for doing God's will, their singleness of purpose in serving Him. Through testimony and fellowship, we will also hear from our brethren about their zeal in their efforts to please and serve our Heavenly Father. God desires that we would hear these examples so they would stimulate our zeal to serve Him in the year ahead. Come away, all of you, to a quiet place and rest a while. In the last few years, as our nation has fought terrorism, we've heard a lot about soldiers and their dedication to duty. We've been told about the battles they have fought, the sacrifices they have made, the wounds that they have suffered. We are spiritual soldiers. Paul exhorted us to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Our warfare is not carnal, nor is it fought with carnal weapons, 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. It is a good warfare. It is a battle against the spirit of this present evil world, a battle against the weaknesses of our fallen flesh, a battle against the pride, the error, and the deception of the adversary. We fight this warfare with the armor of God, as Paul tells us in Ephesians, the 6th chapter. We have been given a girdle or belt of truth, a breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of the gospel of peace, that great shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and the privilege of prayer. Paul exhorts us in Ephesians 6:13 to therefore put on the complete armor of God so that we may be able to stand our ground in the day of battle. And having fought to the end, to remain victors on the field. God has brought us here to teach us how to better use His armor and how to become better soldiers. To be victorious, we will need to be more obedient to our captain. We'll need more courage to face our foes. And we'll need additional training in using the armor of God. We will receive those lessons during the next 6 days. Preparing for our spiritual welfare, our spiritual warfare, is very important. Because none of us knows what battles we will face in the next year. Perhaps it will be an illness that affects us or someone we love. Maybe we'll face persecution or have to deal with family problems. Maybe there'll be a difficult trial at work, or we'll lose our job. There may be trials of discouragement or problems in our ecclesia that lay ahead. Perhaps we'll face the temptation of pride, which comes from spiritual or temporal success in our lives. Maybe we'll face a crucial decision that will have a huge impact on the future of our spiritual life. Perhaps there will be a death in our family. These experiences will test our submission and our obedience to our captain. They'll test our spiritual courage in the face of powerful enemies. It'll test our humility and our faith in fighting those that oppose us. Let's take advantage of the opportunity the Lord will give us here to improve our skill in using that Christian armor, in fighting that good fight of faith so that we may lay hold on eternal life. 1 Timothy 6:12. Come away, all of you, to a quiet place and rest a while. We have come here to rest from our labors and the trials of our flesh in the world. However, we've not come here to be idle, but to be spiritually active, to be energized. We have come here to always give ourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because we know that our labor in the Lord is not in vain. We have come here to listen and to learn, to meditate and to pray, to sing and to praise our Heavenly Father and our Lord. We've come here to encourage, to exhort, to grow, and to help one another grow spiritually. A convention is not an occasion where only the speakers serve. Here there are opportunities for everyone to be active in blessing and building one another up. And so let's take advantage of the opportunities to work in the Lord's service at this convention. Let's take advantage to sing praises of reverence and love to our Heavenly Father and our Lord Jesus. Let's comfort and encourage one another through the signing of cards and letters for those who couldn't be here. Make it a goal, each one of us, to at least sit down at that table one time during this week and write a note of encouragement to some of our brethren. Encourage one another through testimony and fellowship. Let's not spend time talking about our problems and our ills. Let's encourage someone else. Let's broaden the scope of our fellowship by meeting new brethren, spending time getting to know one. Set it as a goal. Someone that you don't know very well, sit down and spend some time with them. Get to know them better. Take advantage of the opportunity for spiritual discussions with our brethren. Focus in our conversation not so much on the temporal things, but on the spiritual things, the plan of God, and how to build one another up and be more faithful. And take advantage of the abundance of the supplies provided at the book table. Take them for your witnessing opportunities back home. The Lord has placed certain talents or opportunities within our hands, and He's observing how we use them. Even if we only have one talent, let's not be afraid to use it. Let's not bury it under our earthly cares and responsibilities. The Lord has called us to this place to inspire us to greater service, greater work in His vineyard. Let us answer that call. Our growth in work and service begins here at this convention and then continues after we return home. Let's take advantage of the opportunities of service that we find here and build a pattern, build a habit for the year ahead. Come away, all of you, to a quiet place and rest a while. God has called us to this convention to enlarge our hearts, to increase our love for Him, His Son, His truth, and His family, which is our brethren. Apostle Paul writes about this in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, in verses 11 through 13. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also. Paul's heart was opened wide to the Corinthian brethren. He withheld nothing from them. He did everything in his power to help them to be successful. This did not prompt, though, the Corinthian brethren to reciprocate. And so Paul had to reprove them a little in this second epistle about how they should be responding to his love. The same principle applies to us. God has opened wide his heart to each and every one of us. He has given us his Son in sacrifice for us. He has given us his Holy Spirit and made us part of his divine family. He's granted us citizenship in heaven and all things that pertain unto life and godliness. He's given to us a family, our brethren, as help and encouragement and as role models to follow. Here in his love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation or satisfaction for our sins. 1 John 4:10. God has done all of this to prompt us to open wide our hearts to him. God has brought us here to enlarge our hearts toward him and his. We are here so that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which is given unto us. This week, God will pour his love upon us through his Spirit and through all the blessings that we will receive. May this love, may God's love, find an ever larger place in our hearts, in our minds. We are also here to be taught of God to love one another. May we learn this lesson well. May we love our brethren more when we leave this convention than we did when we arrived. And we are here for the Lord to direct our hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Everything that our Heavenly Father is doing here is to direct our hearts into a greater love for him, and a greater patience, a greater cheerful endurance in the doing of his will and waiting for the fulfillment of his plan of salvation. May the result of our time together here be the love of God would fill our hearts to the greatest extent possible and reveal itself outwardly in a greater obedience to him, and a greater love and sacrifice for one another. May we realize and take in all of the blessings, all of the benefits that we have mentioned during these next 6 days. May we make this convention a milestone on our Christian walk, on the path to making our calling and election sure. That is my prayer for each one of us. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Come away, all of you, to a quiet place and rest a while."